Welcome to Identity Church Sunday morning message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Alrighty, been a great morning already. Just very exciting. The whole message has been spilled out already through the song, through the message that Gary gave, through other words that have come through. Going to continue talking what Pastor Charlie started about innocence, the baptism of innocence. We take a little bit of a twist on this. Today, Lisa and I are going to tag team, and we are going to speak to you about how to declare your innocence and declaring innocence by growing in maturity through the fruit of the Spirit. You see, I believe this. Scripture tells us that we're born of God. Once we are a new creation and we accept Christ into our heart, there's a seed planted in us. And I'm going to read some scriptures out of the Passion Bible, which we don't have on the overhead, so I apologize for that. But I think when you hear some of those scriptures, the way they're presented in the Passion, it really starts to sink in and mean something to you. And we're focusing on that innocence again. So, you know, watching her dance this morning, yeah. Daughter dance, that's the innocence. And the joy and everything that, you know, I was teasing her over here saying, God, I love the way you dance. I said, you are just so free. I said, when I dance like this. And I think I scared her, you know, like Michael Jackson's Thriller. You know, I was like, oh, what's he doing over there? You know, I was like, ah, and dancing. That guy's crazy. Oh, if you guys didn't get the message to bring your lunch. No. Oh, no. We're going to be here a while. I brought mine. So. I'm kidding. So declaring and continuing to grow in maturity through the fruit of the Spirit. So I'd like to start off and just read something out of 2 Corinthians. And I love this translation. The more I read it, it just jumps off the page at me. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17. It says, since we are those who stand in holy awe of the Lord, which we were standing in holy awe of the Lord. Did you feel the presence of the Lord in the room during that quiet time? Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. You know? That is worship at its very, very essence. You know, think about Jacob wrestling with God. What did he do as soon as the Lord beat him and he laid face down in the middle of the desert and worshiped quiet? So that is a key to worship. True worship is peace and quiet and listening to God. So if you're still and we know that God's present, we are going to hear his voice. So we make it our passion to persuade others to turn to him. We know that our lives are transparent. And one thing that I love about what we do here at Identity, we are very transparent. You know, we are very... Karen, last week, sharing her testimony. How transparent can you get? That was awesome. So the more transparent we are, the more folks see that, gosh, we are really worshiping the Lord. We are being who God created us to be. We're not hiding anything. We're not putting on a face. We're not putting on a front. We're real. Let's get real. We used to do a program in another congregation. It's called Let's Get Real. And it was all testimonies. Let's get up here and get real. Let's talk about our testimonies. Let's talk about where we came from. Let's talk about what happened to us. Let's talk about who we were. And let's talk about who we are in Christ now. You know, to give people hope, to give people encouragement, to give them a sense of If you can change, I can change. You know, nothing is hopeless. And what God can do. So here we go. There's the first rabbit trail. I'm gone. So anyway, let's go back. We know that our lives are transparent before the God who knows us fully. So we can't hide anything from him. And I hope that we are also well known to your consciousness. Again, are we not taking the opportunity to brag, but giving you information that will enable you to be proud? He goes on through just a little bit more, and then we talk about this. It says, let's go here. This means we all died with him, so that those who live should no longer be living self-absorbed lives, but lives that are poured out for him, the one who died for us and now lives again. So then, I love those words, so then. That means something's coming up, so here's what we got to do. So then, and from now on, we have a new expectation and a new perspective that refuses to evaluate people merely on their outward appearances. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new person. All that is related to his old person and character has vanished. Behold, everything is made fresh and new. Thank you, Jesus. So here we are. We are a new creation, or a new fresh person. We have been born of God. He is in us. So how does that translate to innocent? If that's the case, then we are completely innocent at that point. You agree? I mean, you disagree? I don't know. I believe that we are completely innocent at that point. So we're just like the dancers because of Christ. You know, we're just like her. Completely innocent. So what it's talking about is when Christ comes in to live with us, it's just an amazing transformation that takes place. I want to read you something else out of here. In Matthew chapter 18, we all know the story. The disciples are arguing about who's the greatest. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Who is the greatest in the realm of the kingdom? It says this, at that time the disciples came to ask Jesus, who do you consider to be the greatest in the kingdom realm? So Jesus called out a little one who was standing there, a child, to his side, and he said to them, learn this and learn it well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable, moldable, and learn about the heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of this child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle person, this gentle child, is the greatest one in heaven's realm. So to become like a child, to become innocent, is the greatest person in heaven's realm. So how can we function in heaven's realm if our mindset is still back in the old self? But we're a new creation, right? We've been born of God. And why do we have so many struggles moving into that realm if we're innocent? If we're made innocent, why do we have so many struggles? Why do we carry them back? And it's the mindset. We've talked about this before. That seed that is planted in us as a new creation sometimes cannot grow, sometimes cannot blossom, sometimes cannot mature because something is blocking it. And I think that a lot of times those things that have happened to us when we were an innocent child in that former self stop that from growing. What we'll talk about a little bit more and in depth is healing that inner child, healing that self, so that you can fully mature. What do we hang on to that keeps us thinking about what we sang about this, about shame? There is no more shame. No. Guilt. There is no more guilt. We're new creation. Why do we keep going back to that? What keeps pulling us back to that? And it's our mindset. We've talked about this before. So read you another one. I apologize that these aren't in there, but this version is just new, and I really wanted to share that with you. In Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15, we all know the parable of the sower, right? The farmer sowing the seed. But I want to share just these couple things with you. The apostles, they're asking him, well, what's the meaning of the parable? You know, they're all, by the way, let me just back up, because if you read the whole verse in the whole context, the whole chapter, they're all acting cool and, you know, hey, man, we got it. We're with you, Lord. We understand every word he's saying. But when they got alone, they go, what was the meaning of it? And, you know, I can just imagine Jesus looking at him going, you guys, what a bunch of knuckleheads. You know, you're saying here that you understood it. You're acting like you understood it, but now you're asking me in private, what's that mean? What's that really mean? And I love this translation. And he goes through the four different seeds, but we're just going to concentrate on these two. The seed that fell into good, fertile soil, which that should be us as new creations, represents those lovers of truth who hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that someday will bear much fruit. The one before that, let's talk about that one. That's us. Hey, that's us. That's what we want to be. But the one right before that, he goes, the seed that falls into the weeds represents the hearts of those who got the seed, who heard the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off. And it's choked off by their own anxious cares, their own problems and worries of the world, the fleeting pressures of this life. This is why they will never fully mature and be fruitful. So the seed's there, but something's choking it off. What's choking it off? Anxiety, worry, and the pressures of the past, the world, that they've carried with them. So the seed is the word. The seed that's in us. We all have it. Every single one of us have it. If we've been born a new creation, we've been born of God, we all have the seed in us. Are you producing fruit? Just a question, just throwing stuff out. Do I want an answer? No. In fact, I throw an orange at you, but here it is. Here's what it comes down to for me. I thought this is the best way to do it. Seed produces fruit. So in this orange, there is seed. So if this represents the fruit of the Spirit, have you ever peeled an orange and ate it? Everybody has, right? How do you do it? You peel the outside layer off, and then you break it into segments, right? So inside the segments are the fruit of the Spirit. Do you have them all? Is your fruit that you're producing complete? Or do you just take joy? I'm going to take that part. But I don't want to deal with patience. And I'm going to take perseverance. But I don't want to deal with self-control. You know, I can't deal with that yet. See, the problem with it is if you can't deal with that, the seed, something is blocking it from being mature. I'll just share this with you. way back when I was raised Roman Catholic, and I told you guys this before, went to the seminary and decided that I like girls, so I had to get out of that. That wasn't going to work for me. It's not going to work for me. I said, this is not going to work for me. Yeah, yeah. Amen. I'm glad, you know. And all these children later, all of our children, you know, grown up and gone now. So, but I, you know, it didn't work. So, but anyway, many years later, I met a man who basically said, well, just because you were baptized when you were a child and you were confirmed and you took Holy Communion and on and on and on, did all these rituals, he goes, do you have Christ in your heart? It was like, whoa, explain that to me. I mean, I know who Christ is and I know who God is, but he goes, well, do you have him in your heart? Is his seed planted in your heart? So we talked many, many times. Remember Bill? Yeah. Many, many times, many hours we talked, and finally he said, let's go get baptized. It was just like a Philip thing, you know. There's water. Let's go get baptized. That's what we did. And when Christ came into my heart, I thought, wow, this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. Things are going to change. It's going to be so awesome. How many people felt that the first, when you were baptized and you first? Is that realistic? Not very many other. Three. Three people felt that, plus me. We're sprinkled. Okay. Good Methodist. Okay, but what I'm saying is I thought life was going to be great. It was just going to be awesome. Boy, was I wrong. What happened a little bit at a time, God started showing me the things that I had not dealt with that were coming up from childhood and keeping me from maturing. And I, without talking about too many of them, I'll just go into one. Through most of my adult life, my early 20s, and even into my 30s, I used to be, right, take some pride in going, well, when I was 12 years old, man, I had sex. I'm a man. I was a man at a young, early age. And God stopped me one day and he goes, ooh, are you proud of that? I said, what do you mean? He goes, you can't get past some of these things that I'm trying to grow you into because you're focused on that, thinking that that's manhood. He goes, what if I told you that you were molested? I said, oh, no. No, I wasn't molested. Right there, the denial. He goes, no, you were. He goes, let me replay that back for you. Here comes the mindset. He's playing it back for me. And, you know, and it broke me of something right there. I said, you know what? I was a 12-year-old boy who was molested by a friend of my mother. She didn't stop that. She was okay with it. She never said a word about it. It just went past. And I built it up in my life, you know, on my own mind, that I became a man. But the reality of it was I was molested. Simple as that. But I didn't want to call it that. So dealing with those things started opening me up. And once we got through that particular piece, and I started to understand what that was, God started cleaning that house. So God's good at cleaning closets. So he starts bringing these things up and he starts sweeping those things out of you. And guess what happened? A little bit of that seed started to grow. Amen. And I started to mature and started to understand why the things that I'm doing, why I'm doing them, why I do what I do, why for the past 15 years I was so angry, why for the past 20 years I was just, you know, in a rage about things, why I took a view of women as an object and didn't trust anybody. Didn't trust any women. Didn't trust any men. Of course, that's a father issue. That's a whole other story. But they all tied together, so they blocked that seed and that spirit from growing in me. Let me read something here just a little bit. From 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. And this is out of the character of God's children. And let's see, 9 and 10. Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse to keep sinning because God's seed remains within him. So I started getting an understanding about sin and that sin nature, but I was not innocent enough to understand about the sinning part. And he is unable to continue sinning because he has been fathered by God. That was an enlightening thing for me. God is my father. I don't have to be concerned too much about my earthly father and my earthly mother and the letdown that I had there. God's my father. Amen. His seed is in me. But why am I not maturing? Why am I not growing? Why do I feel incomplete? Why do I wake up sometimes and go, what am I doing? This is not what I want. This is not that what I asked for. I thought this was going to be great. It says, here's how God's children can clearly be distinguished from children of the evil one. Anyone who does not demonstrate righteousness and show love to other believers is not living with God as his source. See, I didn't know how to love. I thought love was sex. I thought love was just being good to somebody. You know, love was just caring about people. I missed it. In John chapter 4, it goes a little bit deeper, and it says, let me get here. We belong to God, and whoever truly knows God listens to us. Those who refuse to listen to us do not belong to God. That is how we can know the difference between a spirit of truth and a spirit of deceit. God is love. Let his love continually pour from you to one another because God is love. Everyone who loves the Father, who loves is fathered by God. That was a hard concept. I mean, I'm a good person. I haven't hurt anybody. I'm a good person. But I don't understand love. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us. He sent his matchless Son into this world so that we might live through him. That is love. How simple is that? To let his light and his seed grow in us so that we can exhibit the fruit to show to the world that God is love and that God loves us. And that we love God. Karen said something about, you know, in Hebrew, and this is the truth, that a complete circle is something that's finished in Hebrew. Well, that's the fruit of the Spirit. It's completely round, completely done. No ends, no loose ends. So Lisa, we're going to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit.
You might want to take this on.
Praise God. You know, when Michael was talking, I was thinking about God's love and how amazing God's love is. And as I've been meditating and studying to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, one of the things I was doing, I had the praise music playing in the background, and two of the songs we did today, I was just meditating while the songs were playing. And then Gary started talking about peace. And then we're talking about love. And all everything's just tying together. And I said, well, praise God, because it's all about love. It really is. I think sometimes, I know for me, sometimes I can make things really complicated because just how I am. I have a little bit of a struggle sometimes with overthinking things. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that. Maybe anybody? But you know what? It's really, really simple. It really is. God loves us so much that he gave us the ultimate sacrifice. And what Christ went through for us, he was beat and humiliated and mocked. None of us have ever gone through what he went through. I know some of you have been through some tough stuff, but none of us have been through what he went through. And he did that for us. So we don't carry shame. We don't carry guilt. We are forgiven. We are new creation. Praise God. And I think sometimes, you know, for me, just remember that, because it's all about love and how much God loves us and how much Christ sacrificed for us. And for me, the fruit of the Spirit is the qualities of Christ. I'm going to read it. It's Galatians 5, 22 through 25. I know most of you are familiar. But I know for me, sometimes I just kind of read over things real quickly. And I go, oh, okay, yeah. But, you know, really, I really was focusing on what this is saying. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have sacrificed the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Amen? Live by the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. Like Michael's talking about, the seed is planted. We live by the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying others. So as I'm studying this, I'm thinking, you know, we have all the fruit because we have Christ in us. Amen? So we have all the fruit. Amen? Do we always walk in it? And that's the key. And that's a choice. And this morning, Stephanie, you know, and I'm just like praising God because everything that's happening is just everything that I've been meditating on for the last couple of days. And Stephanie started talking about choice. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. We have it. We have it. Do we walk in it? Love and the agape love. And Karen talked quite a bit about love last week. Biblical love is a choice. It's not a feeling.
Right.
It's a choice. I choose to love. So if someone comes up to me and they say something really hurtful to me, or they criticize me, or I find out someone's betrayed me, or whatever it is we go through, because things happen, right? Things happen. So how do we respond? That's the key. Do we respond in self, or do we respond in love? And when we respond in love, then we display the fruit of the Spirit. And other people around us say, wait a minute, something different about them. Something's different about that person. You know, and that happened to them. Look how they handled that. And then people start wondering, what is it that's different about us? And it's Christ in us. It's not Amen. Us. It's That's not right. me. If I tried to do it on my own, forget it. I'm just telling you that right now. Because our emotions, our feelings, everything can get in the way, right? Because we're human. we're always going to be human. Until we die, we're going to be human. So I want to talk a little bit about joy, because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, joy is to rejoice. In the Greek, it means gladness and delight. I love that. The joy of the Lord is established in our spiritual connection with the Lord. With the Lord, not on circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I want to share real quick, and I'm not going to go on long about this, but the Lord's just hitting me to talk about this for a minute, that I've been going through a really difficult season. And some of you know, but I've been dealing with a lot of pain and physical pain. And nobody can figure out what it is and what's going on and why it's happening. But it's been extremely difficult. And when you go through something like that, and I know some of you have and are going through that, it was difficult for me on some days to even get up and do what I need to do, let alone be joyful. Right? The joy of the mm-hmm. Lord. I come in here one Sunday, and I'm suffering, okay? I am hurting. And I come in, and at a certain point during the praise and worship, I made the decision that I'm going to have joy. I am going to rejoice, mm-hmm. and I'm going to have joy, and I don't care what kind of pain I got to deal with. I'm going to have joy in my life. It's my choice. I'm choosing it. And I worshiped and I praised, and the pain didn't go away. It was still there, but everything changed because I made a choice that I'm going to choose to have joy in my life. So joy is a choice. Peace is a choice, just like Gary was talking about this morning. The fruit of the Spirit is a choice. It's about our mindset. We have it. Christ is in us, so we have it. So it's our choice. Do you have peace in your life? I'm just going to ask you, do you have peace in your life? Because it's ours. Peace is ours. If we worry and we have anxiety and we go into the past and we do all, you know, we think about all the things that have gone wrong in our lives. I wanted to read from Philippians 4. Let's see. And it's okay to be quiet for a minute, right?
That's right.
I used to get so nervous about that. It's like, what if I can't find something? What if we have that awkward silence, you know? But it's okay, right? It's okay. You know, I've learned to really lighten up. Just it's like, it's okay, because God is God, and it's not about me anyway. So it's about God. So, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture. That is a peace scripture. I love that mm-hmm. scripture, because it's all about give it all to the Lord. Give it to him. Whatever it is, whatever you're losing your peace over, give it to him. I had a situation this week. It was a work situation, and somebody really irritated me. Okay? I'll just be honest. I mean, severely irritated me.
Yeah, not just a little.
Severely.
Severely.
Is that seriously? Okay. And it took me a minute. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was like, my peace kind of went for a second. And I said to this person, I'll get back with you. I'm learning.
Yep.
I'm learning because I'm learning that there's times, because it's not me, it's him. And I'm learning there's times I got to walk away and I need to reconnect. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll tell you what I wanted to do is definitely.
I know exactly what you're
going to do, sister. I got your back on that one. I mean, I'm being real, okay? I'm not perfect. And what I wanted to say was definitely not.
It was not. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't. But you know what? It's okay because God still loves me. It's okay when I have a thought. It's okay. Even if I said it, it's still okay because I can repent and go, you know. But and I don't mean that lightly. I don't. But we're human, right? I mean, I know I am. I'm human. So I walked away. I spent a little time with God, and I came back, and I handled it a lot better than I would have if I hadn't done that. So we have to choose. You know, we have to make the choice that I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be afraid. I used to be afraid of everything. No more. No fear. Because it's about him.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, you know, his love takes care of any fear that I might have. Yep. Perfect love casts out. Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Perfect love casts out fear. So we don't need to walk in fear. And then we get to patience. I actually had somebody one time tell me, do not pray patience over me. No, I'm serious. Do not do that. Because I was praying about us being patient, and they're like, no, stop. I don't want to be in this prayer.
That.
And I'm like, okay. But that's a fruit. It's a fruit. But it's, yeah, but I'm not patient. I mean, it's not a strength in me. But you know what? It is because of him in me.
Mm-hmm.
It is available. And when we are patient, we display endurance, long-suffering, and perseverance. Patience is also being kind even when others aren't. So when I walked away, I was also displaying patience. Because this person was, you know, what they were doing was not kind and was not okay, but I chose to walk away. So that is displaying patience. Because sometimes we have to just pull ourselves back. We just need to pull back. But it's also the ability to wait. So waiting on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting on the Lord. You know, I'm like, Lord, when are you going to take this pain? I know I'm healed, but why am I having this pain? It's his timing. It's not mine. It's not my time. You know what he wants from me? Me. He just wants my heart.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants my heart. He just wants me to say, you know what, God, I love you even if I'm in pain. I'm going to serve you even if I'm hurting. I'm going to praise you even though I don't feel good. Because you know what? It's not about me. It's about you.
That's right.
Is that easy? No. Not for me. Kindness and goodness are closely related. The ability to act for the welfare of others, even when they are taxing our patience. Benevolence, helping others, sweetness of spirit. You know, all the things that are Christ's character to help others. Christ always walked in love. When he was on the earth, always. And he is love. He is love. And faithfulness, trusting in God. Do we trust him? Do you trust him? Do you really, really trust him? Do we sing hallelujah in the presence of the enemy? Because we trust him, because we know who he is. We know who he is, and he is in us. So praise God. So we have all the fruits in us because he is in us. Give me 1 second. pray out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So again, it all comes back to love. It all comes back to love. And I'm going to skip over real quick, and you can read, and I encourage you to study on the fruit. I encourage you to study on the fruit. Self-control. And this is how I think of self-control. When I know how much God loves me, I want to do what is right. Mm-hmm. Not because of me, not because I'm trying to be good, but because I want to be good because of him and how much he loves me. So I don't want to go and do things that I know are going to separate me from him. So that's where the self-control comes from, because I don't want to separate from him. I want to do what's good. Now, am I always 100%? No. You know, again, because we're human. And I'm not good in traffic. I'm not. I've shared that. I'm sorry.
No.
Kind of goes back to the patience thing again.
No.
Oh, my goodness. I had somebody driving in front of me the other day, and I was trying to get to work, and they were going like 15 miles an hour all the way down Providence, and you can't get around them because there's nowhere you can go. And I'm like, this is a test. This is only a test. Yeah. Test to see if your horn works. That's right. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to blow my horn and be making hand gestures and whatever. But because I was really irritated, I got to get to work. You know, this person, what is your problem? Why are you driving? And then I thought, man, that's interesting. You're preaching on the fruit this weekend. And that is not the fruit. But, you know, I took a minute and then I just started breathing and I just turned the music up. And I thought, well, you know what? I got a little more time to praise God before I get to work. Mindset. It's all about attitude. It's all about mindset.
Yep.
You know, I can let them irritate me, or I can say, nope, devil, get behind me. I'm going to praise God the rest of the way to work for this extra 10 minutes that it's going to take because of this person. But that's okay. So I'm going to wrap it up and just say it's all about love. Love God, love ourselves, love others. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen? Simple?
Simple as that.
Simple as that. And that's the seed. And that's the innocence, because love is innocent, because that's what we walk in. We walk in love because Christ is love. So I'm going to turn it back over to Michael wrap it up.
Just stay there.
And also putting God first in all areas of our life. Is he first in every area of your life? I challenge you to think about that. In every area of your life, is God first?
So, the old self life, and I don't know what that means to you, and this translation really lays it out a little bit differently than the NIV or any other translations. We know that one of them, sexual immorality, which is rampant. Lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God. Have you ever been a thing chaser? I have. Man, by the time I was 30, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to have a boat sitting in my front, you know, in my backyard. I'm going to have nice cars in the front yard. I'm going to have a bank account that's overflowing. You know, I'm going to have every single thing that I want. Paul can relate to some of these, too. I'm going to get that guitar. I'm going to, you know, I really want that one, even though it's $12,000, and I don't know that I should have that. What am I going to do with that? But I'm going to get it, you know. This is the things. So hatred of those who get in your way, like on Providence Boulevard, you know, those kind of things. Here's a good one. Senseless arguments. We're quick to argue about the stupidest things. And that's me. I would go there.
But he doesn't win.
Yeah. Well, I don't even win. I don't even win the good ones when I know I'm right. I never win those. So anyway, yes, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Resentments when others get favor. Wow. Well, they don't deserve that. I don't know why they got it. I worked my tail off. I should be getting that. They shouldn't be getting that. Resentment when they get favor. Let's see. Only thinking about yourself, being in love with your own opinion. Oh, my gosh. Well, I think this is the right way, and you know, don't tell me any other way. Dangerous place to be, right? Being envious of others that are being blessed. I'll quickly wrap it up. Of course, murder, addictions, wild parties, and all kinds of negative behaviors. I love the translation of the fruit of the Spirit in here. It says, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit's seed within you is divine love in all of its expressions. Joy that overflows. Man, we could have that joy that is overflows people. I mean, we'd be walking up to people going, hey, God loves you, you know, and spreading that joy. And we go, oh, what's the matter with these people? Yeah, stay away from me. Peace that subdues. You're so peaceful that you can control and manage any situation. You're able to take that situation and just take it down. Take it down. Take it down to where it subdues that. Patient that endures, even on Providence Boulevard. Kindness in action. People see you being kind and go, wow, that person's really kind. You know, what they just did was really good. A life that's full of virtue. Faith that prevails in all situations. All situations. Gentle hearts. And strengthen your spirit. That seed that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Everything starts out with the seed. It has to be able to break those stony places in our heart so it can take root. But it just doesn't jump out and come like that overnight, does it? It takes time. First, you have a sapling. And that sapling, after 1 or 2 years, starts to have blossoms. And the blossoms smell just like that. They smell really sweet and good, and it starts to grow in you. And then maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, you might get something like that, only it'd be about that big, you know. And they go, oh, these are the sourest things I ever had, but it's still producing the fruit. But as we mature and we practice being patient and we practice being kind and we practice self-control and we practice those particular segments of that fruit, you know, we start to grow, we start to mature, and then that fruit becomes evident. People can look at that and they can see that. Say, wow, that is really neat. So I pray for us that we take a step back. Think about our innocence. Think about where we need to possibly take a good look at the seed that's in our heart and why something's not growing. You know, and go to God with that. Say, God, what is in there that's keeping me from producing all the segments of the fruit? Because I'm having a problem with being self-control. I'm having a problem with that. Or I'm having a problem being kind. Or I'm having a problem with my opinion, you know, giving my opinion to people, you know, and not being flexible. What is that? And sometimes we need to take a look and see that it might be something that has to do with our inner child that's not healed. Something that's blocking us. So I would just say today, you know, Lisa, myself, Charlie and Susie, Gary and Kathy, Rodney and Debbie, we're here. If you need to speak with us or you need to talk about those things or something may be bothering you, just get with us. But it's not even about us. It's about you. grab a brother, grab a sister, grab somebody that you feel that you can trust and say, I need to talk to you about this. I need you to pray with me about this. And just like we started the service today, I love what Stephanie did. That was just awesome. Just that quiet time. We need to remember that we need to learn how to go back into the garden. We started in the garden. Man started in the garden, walking with God. We'd go back anytime. All we got to do is change our mindset, and we're in the garden. What grows in the garden? The fruit. You can have any fruit in the garden, except for this one. Except for those two that are right in the middle there. You know, yeah, so it's gone. So, okay. So what I'd ask Stephanie to do, just come up and play a little bit, if you will, and we're just going to open the altar time up. If you feel like you want to have prayer or you feel like you just need to get right with God, just take this time. You don't even have to come up. You can take time with somebody right next to you or somebody that you trust and say, will you spend some time praying for me? Heal that child. Look at those things that are deep inside you that aren't producing. Take them to the Lord. I just wanted to say this today, as she's closing it out, that it's an honor and a blessing for me to speak with you. And my doors are open anytime. You can call me anytime. We'll be available to you. We love you. Love every single one of you. Real love. Christ kind of love.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.